What's going on, everybody? It's your boy, DJ Anonymous, with another episode of Sports Biz Music, the podcast, and I believe this is episode 133. What's going on, everybody? Like I said, I'm trying to be consistent with everything, but also at the same time, not to stress too much about, you know, giving out episodes, because I want every episode to be as good and as have the best quality as I can. So yeah. So in this episode, I've been wanting to do this for a minute. I think on my last episode I mentioned him. I had mentioned Rick Ross and like how like Thriller was my favorite album from him, just because of the different songs that was on there, and just the impact he had on me while I was in high school, you know what I'm saying? So this episode is really pretty much about, you know, appreciation to Rick Ross, for musically, you know, business wise, like this man, you know, opened up the floodgates for everybody to not only be business owners and entrepreneurs and all that, but also he opened people's eyes to invest. This man's portfolio is ridiculous, especially, you know, the well-known ones we know, which is Wingstop and Checkers. So it's just like, this man's portfolio is crazy. But I really want to touch on his music today, his albums, because, you know, to me, he's becoming so underrated. Especially with his last album that he dropped a couple years ago, Port of Miami 2, which it still needs a couple more years to be called a classic. But by the time 2023 rolls around, I listen to it again, it's gonna be a classic. It had a lot of great tracks on it. But today, for me, you know, giving him appreciation, I want to rank my rankings on his albums. So further ado, let's start with number one. Of course, I'm gonna tell y'all it's Thriller. Like I said in the last episode, Thriller was one of them albums that, you know, I was in the 10th grade. It was like borderline 10th grade, and then going to the summer, going to my junior year. It was my first year playing football, like organized football. And, you know, when Thriller dropped, I think Thriller dropped actually around the springtime. So it was like, he had nothing but like songs on there. Let me look at the track list and I'll break it down. I mean, the intro was good, you know, produced by Justice League. He had The Boss on there, he had Speedin'. He had Money Make Me Come, which is, to me, it's kind of a, I want to say a underground song on a mainstream album. He got a lot of songs. Here I Am, which I feel like that song took him over as far as like mainstream and Maybach Music. But my personal favorite song on here is Luxury Tax. That was that song that really opened my eyes to a lot of things, especially women. For some odd reason, like, the song really had nothing to do with women, but it kind of did for me. I remember one year we was going to the youth fair, and I was listening to the song. That was back in the good old days where we had iPods and stuff. I don't even think iPod Touches was out yet. I think it came out the following year. But, man, I had that song on repeat. I'm talking about, like, every time I went somewhere, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had on repeat. And that's why, you know, Thriller is my favorite album. Like, I had all these songs on here, and it spoke to me, but also gave me courage to talk to women at the time. Like, when I was in, you know, elementary, middle school, I was shy. I wasn't shy to a point. Like, every girl knew who I liked, they knew. But when I was in high school, like, you know, this album gave me the courage just to flirt with women. Like, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, you only live once, and you can't be afraid of, you know, certain things. And women was something I wasn't afraid of. And then, of course, you know, going through puberty and all that, I'm just like, man, I really love women. I really love girls. Like, you know, this me. So I should flirt with any girl, no matter how she look, you know. But this album just have a special place in my heart. So number two is Port of Miami, of course. Classic, hood classic. You know, that was his first official album, you know, with tracks like Hustlin', Blow, Push It, For the Low, you know what I'm saying? Pots and Pans. Like, this album was a couple episodes ago, I think I spoke about, like, I kind of broke down the Miami rap scene and how, like, you know, everybody should come out, you know, every 5 to 6 years. But in this era, it kind of changed in a way, even though majority of the artists was still underground. A lot of people didn't really, like, the mainstream really didn't know these artists at the time. But I feel like Port of Miami, it opened up the gates for Miami rap and the rest of Florida. Like, it opened up a lot of floodgates to let people know, like, man, Florida, we still got it. You know what I'm saying? Miami in particular, we still got it. Like, this whole year was crazy. Like, Ross, Plies, T-Pain, producers like The Runners, Justice League, you know, they was all coming up. You know, Kool & Dre, can't forget about them boys. Like, it was the year where I feel like Florida music in general, because I don't like to separate that, because at the end of the day, we all Florida. You know, I ain't one of them people that be like, oh, Miami different from Florida. We all the same. But that's a whole nother podcast for a different day. But yeah, this to me, Port of Miami showed, you know, it gave people the real side of Miami. You know, like I said, like, all of us that's in Miami, or even in Broward, Palm Beach, any parts of Florida, Orlando, Jacksonville, Tallahassee, Florida is known for being a tourist place, a tourist spot. A lot of people move down here, especially people from up north, and now a lot of people from California moving over here. But Florida, I'm gonna speak to this real quick. Florida has different parts, and I'm gonna speak for Miami, because a lot of these mainstream, you know, YouTubers and stuff like that, they always, you know, count Miami and South Florida not part of the South, whatever. But anyways, just because of, I guess, the we're not, you know, the typical Southern people gotta understand, like, you know, us, you know, living in South Florida, you know, living in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Palm Beach, we country. We say certain things. We say certain, like, Southern things. Pretty much majority of us, most of our ancestors came from Georgia, the Carolinas, and all that, and Mississippi. But we are different, as far as, like, we're more, we talk a little bit more faster than most people in the South. But like I tell people all the time, once you pass that Dixie line, you go to New York and all that, we really country to them, you know. So, but yeah, there are different parts of Miami and Palm Beach and Jacksonville and all that. It's different parts of Florida. I remember when I was working with I was working at Miami-Dade County Parks and Rec, and I had a co-worker. And me and her used to talk a lot about, you know, being in Florida, being from Florida, and people don't realize that Florida's probably like the only place where you could go from the country, then you could go from the city, you could go to the beach, you could go to the suburbs, you could go from a poor community to a middle class to a rich. So it's like, you know, Florida in general, you know, it shows all walks of life. It shows, you know, it really depends on you at the end of the day. But honestly, when you come down to Florida, you gonna see all of that, because everything is just, it's like everything's together, but at the same time, it's still segregated. You know what I'm saying? Florida, you know, back in the day, you know, why, back in the 60s and the 50s, 30s, 40s, and all that, it was really known for segregation. If y'all look up, you know, places like Overtown and whatnot, like, it was segregated. You know, Overtown was like, you know, it still is a black, you know, community, a black town. But back in the days, it was called the Negro town, the colored town. And a lot of people just don't realize how many history we have down here as far as, like, you know, African-Americans and blacks, people, you know, that came from the Caribbean and whatnot. But I think I touched on that on a couple episodes ago, a few episodes ago, but that's something I'll talk about more in depth. I would have to have about two or three more people on here, you know, to talk about that, to discuss this. But anyway, but yeah, the Port of Miami, you know, it opened up a lot of, you know, different ways and a lot of doors for a lot of us, you know, musically. So my third, this is hard because after Trilling Port of Miami, a lot of people would say Teflon Don, but Teflon Don is in my top five of his albums, but it's not number three. The third one would be Deeper Than Rap. Reason being is I feel like Deeper Than Rap was that album where everybody got that third or fourth album where you commercial, because I feel like Trilla helped him get commercial. Trilla was the one that helped him get commercial, but it's different albums that help you reach different pinnacles, different goals and like different levels in life. And I feel like Deep in the Rap, you know, y'all, if y'all remember, this one he had that beef with 50 Cent. You know, this is probably one of the most underrated, funniest beefs in like rap history. But for me, you know, me being biased, since every New York nigga wanted to be biased, me coming from Miami, I wanted, you know, Ross to finish 50 Cent as far as musically. And I love 50 Cent. Shout out to 50 Cent. But it was time, like, you know, for us, you know, as Miami folk, like, you know, Trick Daddy was, you know, he was going through his heyday. Like, this was around the time when Trick was, you know, semi-retired. Pitbull was basically going pop. Flo Rida was pop. DJ Khaled was just, you know, he was becoming so commercial to it at the time. Who was, if you're speaking Florida-wise, Plies was pretty much on the same level as Ross as far as, like, you know, people knowing him. I think I said T-Pain too. So, and then Trina was still making music, but then you had artists like Gunplay, Briscoe, Billy Blue, Grind Mode. You had a lot of different artists and groups from down here, from here, from Florida, that, you know, that was emerging. But anyway, This album is my third favorite Rick Ross album, because not only because of the beef he had with 50 Cent, but he also he was very lyrical in this. I mean, Rick Ross was already lyrical, but this man like took it to a whole nother level, and I feel like, you know, 50 Cent low key pushed him to this level, and he wanted to show people that, man, like, man, forget all them other rumors and stuff about, you know, me being the feds and all that, whatever. For me at the time, I didn't really care about all that stuff. I'm not a street nigga. I just care about the music and stuff like that, and the beef that was entertaining. So while this was all going on, I was rooting for Ross, and when he dropped his album, at first, I gotta tell people, like, you know, when I was in high school, I was weird in high school. Like, I listened to music, I did play video games and stuff like that, but I wasn't really focused on music, like mainstream music. I was mostly, you know, listening to mixtapes and like EPs and underground stuff at the time. I mean, I didn't really appreciate mainstream music at the time, because I felt like everything was watered down. Not everything, but like majority of stuff was watered down. So I heard the album, but I never really gave it a chance until later on when I got into college. And even listening to it a few months ago, I'm like, bruh, this album, like, it took Ross to another level. Like, Mafia music itself is one of the best. I say top 10, in my opinion, top 10 intros of all time. Like, as far as, like, for an album. And, like, you know, it's up there as, like, one of the diss songs, too. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, Deeper Than Rap, you know, that particular album, you know, that's when Ross really started his unbelievable run. Remember Port of Miami, you know, was that album to get him. People just started to know him. Okay, that's Ross. Like, okay, like, and he had songs that was playing on the radio all the time. But people was like, man, I want to hear more than just, you know, be more diverse. Triller came out, and Triller, you know, took him to a whole nother level. And I feel like Deep in the Rap took him to a whole nother level as far as that lyricism. Now, my fourth album, favorite album, was took him, just made him fake, was Teflon Don. And to me, if you consider, honestly, this should be higher up in one of the best rap albums in history. And of course, like, top 10, top 5 albums of the 2010s, in my opinion. This album, like, had hits on hits on hits. Like, this man, you had I'm Not a Star, Freemason, Tales of Joy, Maybach Music on 3, Lil Fast Die Young, Super High Number 1, MC Hammer, BMF, Aston Martin Music, All the Money in the World. Like, this album honestly could be everybody's favorite Rick Ross album. Me just being a fan of him and being from Miami, and knowing the culture and everything, and like, for me, people ask me, like, why Triller? And I'm like, Triller to me was, like I said, it was that album that took him to the top, to where people started taking him more seriously. But also, that was a personal, like, that's a personal album. Like, everybody got their personal album. Like, for example, I'm going to talk about Ludacris in the next episode, because that's one of my favorite artists of all time. And, you know, my personal favorite album for him is Word of Mouth. And a lot of people might not even say that. They may say Back for the First Time, or they may say Chicken and Bill, or what's it called, Red Light District or whatever. But Word of Mouth is like my favorite, you know, Ludacris, you know, album, but I'll get into that in the next episode. But yeah, this album right here was just ridiculous. Like, this album was like, I'm talking about, like, had hits on hits on hits. Like, it's one of the few albums that, first of all, to have an album like this, when in the era where mixtape was at its peak, where you had mixtapes that basically was like albums, to have this album, to develop this album, and to have all the amount of hits at the time, like, man, like, people just don't understand, dog. Like, I'm surprised this wasn't even, I'm surprised he didn't win a Grammy for this album. That's how much, you know, how much of a masterpiece it was. So that's number four. Number five, I say God Forgive Us, I Don't, for number five, because, you know, like I said, that one, you know, I was in college. I think I was going to FIU. Yeah, I was about to go to FIU. I was already at Broward County, but I had Broward College, but I had transferred to FIU the following year. Like, literally, like, because it was at the end of the 2012. So, the following year, I went to FIU. And this song, and this album, I think, when it dropped, I think it dropped 2011. Actually, no. It dropped 2012, I believe. But anyway, it dropped July 30th. So that was kind of like, technically was towards like, closer to the end of the year. Because he had singles and stuff that just rolled out from the end of 2012. So, even though the album dropped July 30, 2012, that's like the end of the summer going to, like, you know what I'm saying, the fourth quarter. So basically, yeah. But that album was really good. You know, Pray For Us. Pirates was my favorite. One of my favorite songs from him. Three Kings, Ashamed, Made By Music, 4, 16, with Andre, Three Stacks, you know. Hold Me Back, 911, so Sophisticated. Like, man, like, Dice Pineapples, 10 Jesus Peace. Like, the man never fell. And this was actually nominated for a Grammy, and it did not win, which is, you know. I have another episode to talk about the Grammys. I feel like the Grammys and all these other award shows are bullshit anyway. It's a whole bunch of politics, but that's a whole nother another topic. But yeah, that's number five. And then how many more he got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I did the first five, basically 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He got 10 albums. So from 6 to 10. I would put Mastermind, where's that? I put it at 6, just because of the moment I was in at the time. I was at FIU. I was doing a lot of things. I was introduced to YouTube. I was doing a lot of YouTube work at the time. You know, Mastermind was that album, just like kind of similar to Thriller, but in college, you know, like, Mastermind gave me like the courage to like talk to girls and stuff and this and that. Even though I was in my young prime and, you know, I was doing what I was doing. And plus, you know, when I was at FIU, I had a lot of challenges too. And these were one of the albums I used to listen to a lot. That gave me motivation. Like, I listened to the regular and the deluxe. Like, War Ready was, like, once again, is one of my favorite albums. I mean, I'm sorry, favorite songs from him. And that was on this album. And I was surprised that this wasn't nominated either. Like, Ross got, bro, people got to understand, Ross albums never fail. Like, even, like, I'm not gonna speak about it yet because it's probably like my last favorite. But when I went back at it, it's like it's raw. But so I had Masterminds at 6. I had Black Market, which he was talking about a lot of stuff, pretty much with investments and everything that he was doing. So that was what 7. Port of Miami is at 8. The reason why it's low because it's just recent. It may move up in the next 5 years. 9 is Rather You Than Me, which, you know, once again, he was putting people up on game, especially about investments and about stocks and bonds and everything. And people got to forget, this 2017. And actually, Black Market came out 2015. So within them 2 years, he was talking about stuff that people are just starting to realize, like, this shit is true. Like, Ross was always ahead of his time. And every album he had, he was ahead of his time. And I feel like he don't really get the the acknowledgement of what he did. Like, I didn't even count the MMG albums, the Triple C's albums, like, which most people may not even know of, but that's like Ross before he was Ross. Like the man, he did it all, you know what I'm saying? And he put people up on game. And the 10th album that's my ranking since he got 10 is Hood Banda. At first, I ain't really mess with it, but then when I listen to it like the second or third time, I'm like, Ross really don't disappoint. Like, even to me, some people may have Hood Banda for some reason they top 5, but even at his, I don't want to say his lowest album, but like his more his album that wasn't hitting, he still didn't miss on it. I'm sorry. Like, Hood Banda came out 2014. It was probably one of the best albums to come out that year. And 2014 was a crazy year, too. And I feel like that's why Ross and the album wasn't really looked at like that, because 2014 was a crazy year. It was a very, very, very crazy year. So, I mean, I don't know, but I just wanted to make this episode to appreciate Rick Ross, to give him his flowers. I want to thank him for everything he done for Miami and the rest of Florida, and how he opened up the doors for not just Florida, but for music in general. Like, I feel like if it wasn't for Ross and for what he has done, we may not ever got the chance to hear more of Meek Mill and Wale, you know what I'm saying? Like, we may not even be in an era where people take advantage of social media, people take advantage of investing their money and putting it into different franchising, because back in them days, a lot of people really believe in franchising, like, especially, like, from our culture. We never even touched that. I mean, of course, we had Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson probably was one of the first ones to do it. But, like, Rick Ross, he basically told us, you know, us millennials, like, you know, and like, Gen Xers, that, hey, like, you can invest in anything that you want, that you like. You know what I'm saying? Just basically what Warren Buffett always said, but I can relate more to Ross because, you know, he's black, you know, he's from my culture, he's from my city, and, like, you know, I understand him a little bit more. Even I understood Warren Buffett, but Ross is basically saying, like, if you always growing up, you had $5 in your hand, and you always went to McDonald's, or you always went to Taco Bell, or you always went to this mom and pop shop or whatever, or this gas station or whatnot, like, invest into that gas station, create your own gas station, build a franchise, you know what I'm saying, from that particular business or whatnot. Like, don't be ashamed of it, because at the end of the day, you know, ownership is ownership. Yeah, you know, you could get a 7-Eleven franchise it. You still technically have to pay, you know, certain amount of money to 7-Eleven, but people, at the end of the day, even when you own, when you fully own that business, you still got to pay Uncle Sam something, you know what I'm saying? So, but, yeah, he told us that, hey, you know, ownership is ownership. Don't be listening to people. Like, people got to understand, too, when you invest in these stocks, you pretty much become an owner. It could be one stock to 1,000 to 10 million or whatever. I mean, of course, when you get to 10 million, your percentage go up. Like, the more, it's kind of off topic, but it is on topic because Ross. But when you're the more stocks you have in a certain company, the more your percentage grow ownership wise. A lot of people don't understand it. They don't want to believe it, but it's true. And that's why I encourage a lot of people to just invest. You ain't just got to be in stocks or bonds, but, you know, I'm not a big fan of crypto, but invest in crypto, invest in these NFTs, invest in land, invest in real estate. You know, there's so much opportunities out here, you know, but this is the episode I had to do it. It's been on my mind for like the past month and a half. And I just want to thank Rick Ross for everything he's done for the city of Miami, for Dade County, for Florida, for opening up the doors and letting people know that we here, man. And I salute. So this has been your boy DJ Anonymous with another episode of Sports Biz Music, the podcast. Y'all make sure that y'all listen to the show. We're everywhere. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, on Google Podcasts, Audible, Amazon, Music. We're everywhere. And if y'all have any other topics that y'all want me to talk about, email me at sportsbizmusic@gmail.com, or just follow me on Instagram, sportsbizmusic. I have a Twitter. I have to be more active on it, but it's sportsbizmusic. I think it's sportsbizmusic1 on Twitter. And on Facebook, it's Sports Biz Music as well. I think it's Sports Biz Music, the podcast presented by DJ Anonymous on Facebook. But yeah, man. So this is me, your boy, DJ Anonymous, and I'm out. Yeah.